those solar lighting system. So we bring this lighting system and then give it to these villages free. And when you look at these pictures, all these are village chief. So you are in an African country. The village chief is the king of that place. So if they allow you to go in, then you can go in. If they don't allow you to walk in, you cannot go in at all. So by giving out this lighting system, actually it opens up opportunity for our missionaries and also our local church planters to visit these places. So I remember this story. The photo on the upper middle one, that's a village chief. When he received the gift, he was so happy. And the first word he said, "This is your home." Wow, as soon as we heard that, we knew that village is open for us to go in and to share the gospel. So we went back to our hotel in the evening, and then someone knocked on our door. And that man is called Man of Peace in local. So the village chief sent this man over to our hotel and said, "Can you come tomorrow morning? In our village, there was a lady. They believe she was possessed. So they want us to go back to drive the demon away." Wow, what an opportunity, right? Would you go? Yeah? You know what's really going on? What is really going on is the chief opened up the village, right? But at the same time, remember, this is a Muslim, and they also believe in all kinds of spirit as well. So the village chief is saying, "If you believe in a great God, come and show us how great your God is." So this is what he's talking about, inviting us to do that. So that evening, we had seven young brothers and sisters with me on that trip. And you know what they asked me? And they said, "Pastor Leung, have you ever done this before?" Oh, I said to them, "你班蛙鬼我都搞唔掂." You know what I mean, right? Cantonese. "I couldn't even manage you guys." So that evening, we prayed real hard. And next morning, we went back to that village. Sure enough, the village chief brought us to this house. It's a brick, simple house. We got into the house. Surely a lady was sleeping on the bed. And the gentleman sat beside him. It was his husband. So it was, I guess, the first time in my life I can feel, I can hear my heart was pounding. So I walk in. Through the translator, I ask, "What really happened?" So the husband explained to us that his wife, having this bad dream every night for the whole month, she has been on bed for the last 14 days without getting up. But he had this dream every night, every single night the same. So I asked the husband whether she was struggling to scream or what. And her husband said, "No, it was very peaceful, actually." So I started to ask the lady what did she see in her dream. And she said, "Every single night, she saw the same old man dressing in white, appearing to her, approaching her. And then she woke up." As soon as I heard that, oh, I started to give praises to the Lord. At that moment, I believe God is going to do something great. What she was seeing in the dream was not the devil, was not the evil one. God is going to bring glory to himself right there. So we start telling her the gospel. We start telling her about Jesus. And then we invite her to, through the translator, we invite her to accept Christ. She looked at her husband. You have to know that in those villages, man is the authority of the house. If the man give permission, then the wife can do things. Otherwise, she could not. So I saw the man nod his head. And then the lady said, I would love to accept Jesus Christ. Wow, we are so touched by that story. We are so touched by the miracle work of God. But then I asked myself one question. What's next? She was the first believer in that village. She would be living among those people who are still believing in the Spirit, those who still believe their God is the greatest God. It's not going to be easy for her to live in that village. So this passage came to mind. So let us read it together, Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 to 8. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through horror and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. So this passage came to mind. This passage was Paul's prayer for the Christian in Colossians. In verse 6, Paul said, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. Accepting Christ, set our foot firmly on the rock of salvation. But that's only the beginning. We need to continue to build on that foundation. And I think Paul's prayer applies not only to that village lady, but also applies to us today in Vancouver. She needs, and so do we. We need to grow deep, we need to grow up, and we need to grow strong, and we also need to grow out. I believe this is exactly what that community of faith in that remote place need, and also for us this morning as well. God wants us to live our life to glorify him. God wants us to be fully alive with Christ. So we need to grow deep. In verse 7, Paul used the word rooted. Rooted, I believe all you understand is an agricultural term, right? We look at a tree. We all know that the most important part of the tree is the roots. It's the roots that support the whole tree. In Senegal, I mentioned about this place, right? In Senegal, they have a lot of these trees called babaw tree. So what's so interesting about this babaw tree? These trees, some of them are 1,000 years old. They grow to about 20 meters high. And then the circumference is about 30 meters. So you need, 30 to 50 people to hold hands together and surround such a big tree. So when you see such a massive tree living for 1,000 years under 50 degrees Celsius, so you're talking about very hot. To live for that long, it needs a massive root system that we don't see. So the same for our Christian life. We need to build up that massive root system. And I believe you hear this time after time, week after week. The only way to grow that deep root system is by studying the Bible. And I believe all of you have a Bible at home, right? So the question is whether you take time out to really study the Bible, read your Bible. Take time out to have quiet time with God. Prayer, reading the Bible, meditation. If you don't do that, there is no instant thing that allows you to build up that massive root system. So the question is whether you are willing or not. Do it regularly and consistently. Now, but for the tricky part, for those who live in Africa, in the developing world, is that they may not even have a Bible. They may not even have a Bible in their language. Or even they have the Bible, they are illiterate, that they cannot read the Bible. So they need our help. We need to ask ourselves one question. Today, God bless us so much. How many of you have more than one Bible at home? And nowadays, you don't really open the Bible, right? You turn on your smartphone to read the Word of God. So the question this morning is, you have so blessed. You have the Word of God at home. You have so many Bible. Are you willing to share that with someone else who doesn't have a Bible, who doesn't know the Word of God? Second thing, Paul wants us to grow up. So the second word that he uses, build up. From agricultural term, he switched over to architectural metaphor. So build up relates to a building process. So it is interesting that Paul mixed the two metaphors together. So what Paul is saying is this, a root without a trunk, can you call it a tree? You cannot call it a tree. A foundation laid, but if you're not going to build it up, you cannot call it a home or a house yet. So one must continue to put the bricks together above the foundation to make a house. So if you see the foundation, but you have nothing on top, what do you call that? In Cantonese, we call that lan mei lau, right? It's not complete. This morning, we need to ask ourselves, are we a lan mei lau, accepted Christ, but we are not willing to put the effort to build it up? The root system is important, but the trunk above the ground also need to build up as well. Talk about that tree. Remember looking at this tree? Take a guess. How much water can this tree trunk store inside of it? What, I've been away from Canada for a long time. What is the regular size of a can of Coke now? How many milliliter? 355. Okay. 355. Well, you are talking about you can put 200,000 of this 350 milliliter of Coke inside this tree. That's why this tree can last for 1,000 years in 50 degrees Celsius under that kind of extreme conditions. So brothers and sisters, every day when we read the Bible, we have to ask ourselves, The Word of God, is it building our character up? The Word of God, is it building our spiritual gift up? The Word of God, is it building our love, our kindness to other people? God wants us to read the Bible, be close to Him. At the same time, God wants us to build up our character, our spiritual gift, so that other people can see us to glorify Him. We have a lot of Christians who said he loved the Lord very much, spend time in reading the Bible, but as soon as he walked out of his home, walked out of the church, somebody cut him in the traffic, he would start swearing inside the car. Nobody knows about it, but God knows. When you go out to work, is that Christian character flow out from him just like this tree, storing 120,000 liters of water inside, becoming nutrients to other things? This tree has so many medical use, become a blessing to the African people. Is our life also a blessing to other people? God wants us to build up. So let the house of life rise steadily from the foundation, course upon course as the days and weeks pass into years, until the depth of our Christian character and the strength of our faith, the steadfastness of our hope, and the spiritual gift can be visible and bearing fruit for God. So the third word in here Paul uses, strengthened in the faith as you were taught. So strengthened, Paul is using a word almost saying, when you build this house, one layer of brick for the wall is not strong enough. Put two layers, three layers. Make it thick enough so that the enemy cannot come into your house. So this is what Paul is talking about. Our Christian walk, I wish I could tell you, is smooth sailing. But if I tell you this, you know I'm telling a lie. Christian walk is never easy. We look at the world, look at war, look at Christian. They also face disasters. They also face difficulties in life. Christian, they have problems at home, at work. Christians have cancer, illness as well. So if we are not going to build up our faith, what are we going to do when trouble comes to our life? I remember one story when I was in Cambodia. This one lady, Cambodia was finished the war, and the UN was in the country to help restore peace in the country. I remember at that time, this one lady, she got a job as an assistant teacher in a kindergarten. And she came to church and she accepted Christ, and she was making about $50 a month. And she need that $50 a month to support a family of seven, supporting her husband, supporting the kids. One day, her principal asked her to go into his office. And her principal said, I found out that you're going to church. I found out that you have been baptized as a Christian. And then the principal said, I don't like Christians. You can think about whether you want your God or you want to keep this job. So what are you going to do? My time's up. So what are you going to do if it were you? You call the police, right? You call the police and say your boss is discriminating you because of your faith, right? Brothers and sisters, you're living in Canada. This is one of the heaven on earth, so you can afford that. But outside of Canada, a lot of places, people just discriminate you, kill you because of your faith. So if you're not going to build up your faith, strengthen it, when disaster, when difficulty comes, how are you going to choose? What are you going to do? That lady came and shared the story with us, and we prayed for her in the church. And then she went back to the school, and she told her principal, God is real to her. Jesus Christ is real to her. She would keep her faith. So the principal stood up. She was fired immediately. $50. She needed that money to raise the family. 2 weeks later, a church wanted to start up a kindergarten and heard about the story of this lady. So the church came and asked her to be their assistant teacher. Wow. God is a faithful God. If you honor God, God will honor you. Dear brothers and sisters, take the word of God to your heart. Every day when you go out to work to serve Him, you should serve Him wherever you are, in the campus or in your workplace. Demonstrate that you are belong to Him. In times of difficulties, stand firm to show that the Christ who died on the cross for you is real to you. So this is what Paul is saying. Grow strong. Understand the truth and let Jesus shine through your life. And the last word that Paul used in here, overflowing with thankfulness. The word overflowing means flooding. Just like a river flood so badly that the two banks, everything is flooded and washed away. So when I first look at this, I don't quite understand why Paul is saying thanksgiving with overflowing with thanksgiving. Until one day, I went to a church to preach. I was there almost like an hour early. I was setting up my PowerPoint and things. So when I got there, and then I saw a middle-aged man sitting right at the back of the church. And he came up to help me to set up things and everything. So while I was preaching, I noticed that he sat there and so attentive. After the preaching, after the sermon, I went to talk to him. And I said, oh, you must be one of the church deacon or elder since you're so early, even earlier than the pastor of that church. And then he said, no, Pastor Neil, I'm not a Christian yet. I was surprised. So I asked him, what draws him to the church? And even earlier than that pastor of the church. And then he told me two things. One, he said, every week when he came to that church, when he heard the sermon, he felt that his inside was cleansed. So I'm so thankful that that pastor of the church preached good sermons that's helping him. But then the second thing he said, he wanted to find out why Christians are so, in Chinese, he said, gomakiu, so stupid, so foolish. Every time when they see trouble, they would still give thanks to God. Time after time, he said, he could hear Christians saying, oh, thank God that I was sick of certain illness. Thank God that I lose my job and then God opened another way for me. He wanted to find out why Christians have that power inside of their life. In spite of the troubles that they face, they could still give thanks to God. He wanted to find the reasons. After hearing from him, then I understand why Paul is saying that. You know, we are living in a world so broken. And people live in difficulties. And they want to find a way out. And one thing draw him to Jesus Christ is our heart of thankfulness. And they want to find out. Look at the world today. Look at the world today. Ebola. People are dying. 3,000 people dying in Nigeria. In Guinea. 3 weeks ago, I got news. Two of CNMA local staff were killed by local villagers because they thought those two CNMA local staff were spreading the germs. But in fact, they were there to help them. Let us look at the world. IS, believe you heard about them in the news every day. Killing people, killing Christians, 100,000 in a village. Let us look at Ukraine and Soviet. The world is in war, upside down. Look at Hong Kong. I couldn't believe this is happening to Hong Kong. When we look at this world, we have to give thanks to God that He placed you, raised you up in a peaceful country, Canada. Pastor John reminded me, I forgot about this myself because I've been away for so long. Pastor John reminded us this morning, next week is Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. So a true thankful heart is to ask yourself, since God died on the cross for you, what are you going to give back to God? And that is true thanksgiving. When we look at the world, when we look at the need of the world, what are we going to do in response to overflow this world with thankfulness? We have ministry in Cambodia. I guess I will just make it short. We have ministry in a place called Bailan. Bailan was the last stronghold of the Khmer Rouge. So up to this day, Bailan, a lot of places in Bailan, are still infested with landmines. So 7 years ago, we went into that area. The UN cleared a piece of field and invited us, that village invited us to help them with all kinds of things. And so we start to helping them, and then we start them to build a school for the villagers. The school can be there because people give with a thanksgiving heart. Without a thanksgiving heart, the world would not be able to hear the news, the good news of Jesus Christ. So let us pray together. Father God, thank you for this morning that we can worship you together. As we look at the world today, it's really upside down. There's so many difficulties. So Father God, we pray that your hands will be over in those areas. Bless the Christians in those areas, that they will stand firm for you, be a light in that part of the world. But at the same time, Father God, we come to you and we ask you to open our eyes, open up our hearts, and give you thanks for all the blessings that you have given us in here. And Father God, we pray that you also help us to be diligent in your word, be close to you, understand your will, and be willing to go out to serve you, to glorify you, and let people see that we belong to you and hear your good news. In Jesus Christ, in His name we pray. Amen.